And I have me stopping at 20. So we will start at 19. Because I'm not stupid. Praise the Lord. And Uriel said to me, "Here shall stand the angels who have connected themselves with women, and their spirits, assuming many different forms, are defiling mankind and shall lead them astray into sacrificing to demons as gods. Here they stand till the day of judgment, in which they shall be judged till they are made an end of. And the women also of the angels who went astray became sirens. And I, Enoch, saw the vision and the end of all things, and no man shall see as I have seen." And there's pretty heavy stuff there. There's a few things that we know that in the Bible it tells us that we can be entertaining angels unaware because they can change form. Okay, this is saying the same thing, that spirits can change form and do change form and appear differently. There are demons who desire to be worshipped as gods, and that they are leading people astray, and it's not right, and they will be judged in the great judgment according to Enoch. And they'll be judged and made an end of, and the women also. You know, people ask me, what about the women? We know that the angels are being judged. What about the young ladies that were fair ladies that the angels fell in love with and went? What about them? And it says here that they become sirens. And there's a price to be paid there as well. You have to remember that God is... judges righteously. Will not the judge of all heaven and earth judge righteously? He knows the beginning from the end. We know that the children of these women went on a rampage and nearly destroyed the world. We read that in the earlier sessions, where they basically got to the point to where men couldn't feed them. So they started eating anything and everything they could, and then began to devour things, and God judged them, and they're the Nephilim, and the words we call giants. And so there's a lot going on here, a lot of choices. And these women who became the wives of the angels are not without fault. Not without, they were taught according by the angels, according to what we've already read here in Enoch. They were taught all of the arts that we call the occult arts, and that they were being taught that by the fallen angels, fallen watchers, who married them. And then this little section here just ended with Enoch saying, you know, nobody's seen what I've seen, because he's being taken by God's angels and taken and moved around and shown things that nobody can see. I would dare say that most of the people living in that time, you know, because he's the seventh from Adam, there's not a lot of people in the world, but there's more than you might think. And those people yes, is the answer to that. Can you shut it down?
You shut the computer off.
That works. Praise the Lord. I just lost my train of thought with that. Pardon? Oh, yeah. And of course, they weren't flying around like they do now. They don't get in a jet. They don't see the world from any point of view other than getting out of their house, going out into the field and doing what they would do every day. And so as a result, the things that he's being shown are things that are way beyond anybody's imagination. He is literally being taken in the spirit around and shown what the world looks like. being shown places that no one can see. And that's what this next section's all about, is him. And then he is attempting, in a much better way than I could, or probably anybody in here, to communicate that to where we can understand what it is he's trying to say. So keep that in mind as we go through these. Now, the next page here says 20. It says the names and functions of the seven archangels. This is interesting. And these are the names of the holy angels who watch. Uriel, one of the holy angels who is over the world and over Tartarus. Now, we know Tartarus from the Bible. We know that's one of the chambers, one of the places in hell that holds the dead. And so this particular angel, according to them, is over the world, over the earth, watches over the earth, and watches over Tartarus, this place, part of hell. Raphael, one of the holy angels, who is over the spirits of men. So he handles, you know, we talk about it a lot. You know, when someone dies, there's a song called Angels in the Room. You ever heard it? Wonderful song. It basically, it's talking about when you take your last breath, there are angels in the room. And those angels, the angels of God, come down and they take the saints away. And that's one of the ministries of angels, according to how we understand Bible and Bible doctrine. Well, he's saying here that the angel who is over those is Raphael. And that he is over the spirits of men. And when your spirit, you die, he is in charge of getting you where you need to go. So whatever that might entail, you'll have to ask him when the time comes. What does that really mean? Raguel, one of the holy angels who takes vengeance on the world of the luminaries. Now, we haven't talked about luminaries very much in here, but generally, the way this comes across is that in the heavens, there are stars, and the moon is considered to be a luminary, and the stars in heaven, and that this book, and I believe the Bible as well, talks about the stars as angels. When it says in Revelation, when Satan drew away a third of the stars of heaven, he's referring to the angels, not to, you know, big fireballs that he wanted to take away, but he was referring to angels themselves. And this particular holy angel takes vengeance on the world of the luminaries, those stars and those angels who have turned from God and aren't serving God. Next one is Michael, one of the holy angels, to wit, he that is set over the best part of mankind and over chaos. Now, it's interesting that, you know, we know him as being Israel's prince. From Scripture, we know that Michael is over Israel. And here he says that he's over the best part of mankind. I believe that what he is he is sent and is over by God, over those people who want to serve God, those who want to be God's children, those who want to put out the effort to serve God, etc., the better part of mankind. And he is over that. So if you, that's where your heart is and where you want to walk, then he's on your side. And that's Michael. We know also that he's a warrior because he fights in the New Testament. He's a battler. And then over chaos. If any of you, we've already talked about the angels who were immortal angels who have been put in Dudael. And they're incarcerated there for a while. They're going to be there. One of those angels' name is Chaos. And if you look at, he's also one of the Roman Greek gods, one of the immortal gods, one of their head gods, his name is Chaos. And God deals with Chaos. He's an angel. If you, I don't know whether any of you here remember, but I did a thing up in the sanctuary once where I literally showed a picture of the gods, which were the immortals before the flood, and chaos was one of them. Okay? So, and I think that what's happening here is that chaos, and of course we know chaos as a word for just plain confusion, things out of order, things not going the way they were designed by God to go. This guy is in charge of fighting God tooth and nail. And Michael is who he has to deal with. Okay, praise the Lord. Any questions? I mean, I haven't read much, but... Okay, and then Seraquiel, one of the holy angels, who is set over the spirits who sin in the spirit. Now, that's an interesting statement because you're saying, oh, you know, how do you sin in the spirit? Well, I think what we're talking about is that the you and I have a spirit, and there are spirits we know that came out of the Nephilim. It says their spirits came out of their bodies when they were killed before the flood, and they continue to do stuff throughout the world. They're basically disembodied spirits and called demons. Those demons are still have activity here and are still doing things here. And this particular angel is set over the spirits who, I think better said, who continue to sin as spirits and to fight. It says that they're going to fight against man. They're going to fight. They're going to destroy. They're going to do everything they can to bring man down. They hate us. Says they also have no place, no place in God, no place to go. They're basically roaming the earth, disembodied. Gabriel, one of the holy angels who is over paradise, and the serpents, and the cherubim. This is an interesting statement as well. Paradise, we understand because Jesus talked about paradise. He talked about this is the place where the righteous dead go. And so this angel takes care of paradise. He's in charge of making sure that all the other angels, all the ministry in paradise and all the needs in paradise, everything else is taken care of. That's his job. He's the head angel over that. These are archangels that are telling God's other angels and all the watchers and all to, what to do and how to do it to make sure it runs smooth. And that's what he does. Then he says that he's over the serpents. Now, if you look up the word seraphim in the Bible, in the Hebrew, you will find, you'll be surprised to see, that word means fire serpents. Fiery serpents. Okay, and we say, well, seraphim, they're at the throne of God. They're ministering to God. And the answer to that is yes. And they're fire serpents, and they operate before God. And we have descriptions of them and what they are. I think that this is an abbreviated term. This serpents here is really seraphim. Because the next statement says, and the cherubim, the other angels. These are both angels. And I think that he's saying basically that this angel is over paradise, and over the seraphim and the cherubim. So he's directing these angels of God. And whatever it takes, whatever's going on, he's the guy that would be doing that. Ramiel, one of the holy angels, whom God set over those who rise. Isn't that an interesting term? I think that's probably talking about those of the resurrection, those who are going to be brought to God, those who rise. And there is an angel over that God has set to accommodate that. This may be a reference to a later point in time when paradise is no longer used, that our Lord gave us away to make us righteous enough to enter straight in to his presence through the blood. That's where we're at now. So when you and I die, our spirits don't go to paradise. They don't go down into a holding tank, a place for us to go. The Bible says we, to be absent from the body, is to be with the Lord, to be present with the Lord. And so that's what's going on. This angel may be the one who helps accommodate that trip and what's going on, and accommodating all the people who rise, all the saved, the redeemed. If there's anything that comes through from this book and from the Bible, is that God sees so much differently the righteous and the unrighteous. He sees it completely different. He says, when I talked about the things that the unrighteous do, don't apply it to your life. Okay? To the righteous. He says you need to be righteous so that you don't have anything that they have, that you're not a part of what they're doing and what's going on with them. Amen? Amen. So those are the seven archangels and their names and their functions according to the book of Enoch. Now it goes on to the second journey of Enoch, preliminary and final place of punishment of the fallen angels, and then it says in parentheses, stars. Now, that's obviously put in there by the people who put this document together for us to help guide us into what's being spoken of. It says, and I proceeded, traveling, to where things were chaotic, not the way they were supposed to be. And I saw there something horrible. I saw there neither a heaven above nor a firmly founded earth, but a place chaotic and horrible. And I saw seven stars of the heaven bound together in it, like great mountains burning with fire. Then I said, for what sin are they bound? And on what account have they been cast hither? Then said Uriel, one of the holy angels, if you go back and look, he's in charge of this, who was with me and was chief over them, and said, Enoch, why dost thou ask? Why art thou eager to learn the truth? These are the number of the stars of heaven which have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and are bound here till 10,000 years. So at the end of the age, when the angels are judged, it will have been 10,000 years from the time that their sin took place. Now, these are not those that had the women, the 200 that are in Dudael. These are different. 10,000 years, the time entailed by their sins, are consummated or end. From thence I went to another place, which was still more horrible than the former. And I saw a horrible thing, a great fire which burnt and blazed. And the place was cleft as far as the abyss, being full of great descending columns of fire. Neither its extent or magnitude could I see, nor could I conjecture. Then I said, how fearful is this place! How terrible to look upon! Then Uriel answered me, one of the holy angels who was with me, and said unto me, Enoch, why hast thou such fear and affright? And I answered, because of this fearful place, and because of the spectacle of the pain. And he said to me, this place is the prison of the angels, and here they will be imprisoned forever. So we have a 10,000 year thing, and now he's saying that we've got another place that's a lot worse that they're going to be in basically forever. And this is really bothering Enoch. And the angels of God, of course, they see it. They minister there. They control the things that are going on there. They're in charge. And to them, they kind of look at Enoch, it looks like, and just say, wow, it really bothers you, doesn't it? And he says, yeah, it bothers me. He says, look at the pain. Look at what's going on here. And they say, well, this is it, man. This is hell. You know, we have a lot of views that people have had of hell and the fire and the pit and the abyss and everything that we hear. Okay, Enoch saw all that long before anybody else did. He says, man, this is not a good place. Then Sheol, or the underworld. And thence I went to another place, and the mountain of hard rock, and there was in it four hollow places, deep and wide and very smooth. How smooth are the hollow places, and deep and dark to look at. Then Raphael answered, one of the holy angels who was with me, and said unto me, these hollow places have been created for this very purpose, that the spirits of the souls of the dead should assemble therein. Yea, all the souls of the children of men should assemble here, and these places have been made to receive them till the day of their judgment, till their appointed period, till the great judgment comes upon them. And I saw the spirit of a dead man making suit. Now, making suit is like filing, you know, you file a lawsuit in court. You go in and you say to the judge, this is my suit. This is my grievance. I have a problem. So-and-so did this. This happened to me. And I have a legal grievance before the judge to get something changed, to get a settlement. And that's what he says is going on here. And he answered, saying, oh, let's see, make sure, where did I stop? Making suit. And his voice went forth to heaven and made suit. He's praying. We talked to Pastor, said today that, you know, they think that prayer that was in Genesis was the first prayer. I have a feeling this is probably beats it by a little. And I asked Raphael, the angel who was with me, and I said to him, this spirit who maketh suit, whose is it? Whose voice goeth forth and maketh suit to heaven? And he answered me, saying, this is the spirit which went forth from Abel, with whom his brother Cain slew, And he makes his suit against his brother Cain, till his seed, Cain's seed, is destroyed from the face of the earth, and his seed is annihilated from amongst the seed of men. I'm going to suggest he doesn't get his suit. Okay? I don't think just because Abel is so vehement about it and he's bringing suit that God killed off all the Canaanites. I don't think it happened. Although, I will say this, that they are not... They didn't make it through the flood. Okay? They did not make it through the flood. The only people that made it through the flood was Noah and that genealogical line from Adam through. And it was not Cain's line. Then I asked regarding it and regarding all the hollow places, why is one separated from the other? And he answered me and said unto me, these three have been made that the spirits of the dead might be separated. And such a division has been made for the spirits of the righteous, in which there is a bright spring of water. Such has not been made for sinners. And such has been made for sinners when they die and are buried in the earth, and judgment has not been executed on them in their lifetime. Here their spirits shall be set apart in great pain till the day of judgment. Okay, so there's a spring of water on one side and great pain on the other. Have you heard anything like that in the Bible? Yeah, Jesus talked about the great gulf that was between these particular two, the one which is paradise, in which the souls of the dead, or the spirits of the dead, are awaiting their redemption. They look forward to the redemption when they can stand before God, and we look back to Christ. They look forward to Christ. This would be the place that Jesus went when he went into the underworld, when he descended preached to the captives, those who were those spirits which were held in this place, and gave them the opportunity. I would think they took it. And so all those righteous men would have gotten out. It says, here their spirits, the others, shall be set apart in this great pain till the day of the judgment and punishment and torment of those who curse forever, and retribution for their spirits. There he shall bind them forever, and such a division has been made for the spirits of those who make their suit, who make disclosures concerning their destruction, and when they were slain in the days of the sinners. So it's not everybody's lumped together. I would say that the angel that is over Sheol and over Tartarus has said, these guys have a legitimate thing. They're over here and they're making their suit. They're coming before God and saying, God, what took place in my life was not right, and they're dealing with it. And it says, so it says, such has been made for the spirits of men who were not righteous, but sinners, who were complete in transgression, and of the transgressors they shall be companions. But their spirits shall not be slain in the day of judgment, nor shall they be raised from thence. And I blessed the Lord of glory and said, blessed be my Lord, the Lord of righteousness, who ruleth forever. Basically, there are people who are complete in their transgressions. I mean, I think down through history, they show up. Those people who hated God so much that their transgressions are complete. And it basically says, under no conditions, they're just going to be stuck in this place of torment and pain. That hell is forever. That you don't get out. There's not a limbo. Okay. Any questions? Wow. 23. It says, the fire that deals with the luminaries of heaven. From thence I went to another place, to the west of the ends of the earth, and I saw a burning fire which ran without resting and paused not from its course day or night, but ran regularly. And I asked, saying, what is this that which rests not? Then Raguel, one of the holy angels who was with me, answered and said unto me, this course of fire which has been seen is the fire in the west which persecutes the luminaries of heaven. So what we're seeing, I believe, is basically a lava flow. That out of the earth is flowing lava and flowing fire, and associated with that, it's flowing into the location where the luminaries are being held and judged, and it's to torment them, and that's what's going on. And then this next one, the seven mountains in the northwest and the tree of life. From thence I went to another place of the earth, and he showed me a mountain range of fire which burnt day and night, and beyond it I saw seven magnificent mountains, all differing each from the other. And the stones thereof were magnificent and beautiful, magnificent as a whole, of glorious appearance and fair exterior. Three towards the east, one founded on the other, and three towards the south, one upon the other, and deep ravines, no one of which joined with the other. So what he's seeing is, he's looking from this location and he's seeing mountains. But just like when we look out here, we don't just see a mountain. We see mountains on top of mountains, behind mountains. And so what he's describing, that these mountains, these three mountains, are like stacking on each other. And then he turns the other way, and there are these mountains, and they're stacking just mountain ranges. And that's what we're seeing. And then out of them are these ravines, very deep ravines that are flowing out of them. And the seventh mountain was in the midst, or in the middle of all of these, and it excelled them in height, resembling the seat of a throne. And fragrant trees encircled the throne. Must have got pretty close, huh? He's smelling this mountain. He's so close. And amongst them was a tree such as I had never yet smelt. Neither was there any amongst them, nor were there others like it. It had a fragrance beyond all fragrance, and its leaves and blooms and wood wither not forever. Special tree, right up there by the throne. And its fruit is beautiful, and its fruit resembles the dates of a palm. God, we never knew that before, did we? Then I said, how beautiful is this tree and fragrant, and its leaves are fair, and its blooms very delightful in appearance. Then answered Michael, one of the holy and honored angels who was with me and was their leader. And he said unto me, Enoch, why dost thou ask regarding the fragrance of the tree? And why dost thou wish to learn the truth? Then I answered him, saying, I wish to know about everything, but especially about this tree. And he answered me, this high mountain which thou hast seen, whose summit is like the throne of God, is his throne, where the Holy One, the Lord of glory, the eternal King, will sit when he shall come down to visit the earth with goodness. This is basically the location, and they're saying this is where God will come down when the Lord comes down to the earth to visit. And as for the fragrant tree, no mortal is permitted to touch it till the great judgment. And when he shall take vengeance on all and bring everything to its consummation forever. So this is God saying, that tree is hands off. What tree is that? Is that the tree that was in the garden and God said, we've got to put some angels around this tree lest anybody come in here, eat the tree, and live forever? Okay, the tree of life. This is that tree. And nobody gets to touch it until the end. But we know it's in heaven, don't we? We know that the tree of life is in heaven. We know that from the book of Revelations. And in here, it's going to tell us the same thing. It shall then be given to the righteous and holy. Its fruits shall be for food to the elect. It shall be transplanted to the holy place, the temple of the Lord, the eternal King. That's why they see it in the New Jerusalem. That's why they see all this stuff in that location, because God says that tree is coming up. Then shall they rejoice and be with joy and be glad. And into the holy place they shall enter, and its fragrance shall be in their bones. And they shall live a long time on earth, such as thy fathers lived. And in their days shall no sorrow or plague or torment or calamity touch them. That's the elect we're talking about. God's chosen. Then blessed I, the God of glory, the eternal King, who hath prepared such things for the righteous and hath created them and promised to give to them. And I went from thence to the middle of the earth. Now we're leaving. And I saw a blessed place in which there were trees and branches abiding and blooming. And there I saw a holy mountain. And underneath the mountain to the east there was a stream, and it flowed towards the south. And I saw towards the east another mountain higher than this, and between them a deep and narrow ravine. In it also ran a stream underneath the mountain. And to the west thereof there was another mountain, lower than the former and of small elevation, and a ravine deep and dry between them. And another deep and dry ravine was at the extremity of the three mountains, and all the ravines were deep and narrow, being formed of hard rock, and trees were not planted on them. So you can see, know what you're looking like when you see a gorge or a valley and it's all washed out, and it's washed all the way down to the rocks and there's no trees because basically it's all just solid rock. You know, you think of Grand Canyon and places like that, where that's what's being described here. And I marveled at the rocks, and I marveled at the ravine. Yea, I marveled very much. Any questions? Pretty cool stuff, huh? The purpose of the accursed valley. Then I, said I, for what object is this blessed land, which is entirely filled with trees, and this accursed valley between? Then Uriel, one of the holy angels who was with me, answered and said, this accursed valley is for them who are accursed forever. Here shall all the accursed be gathered together who utter with their lips against the Lord unseemly words, and of their glory speak hard things, of his glory speak hard things. Here shall they be gathered together, and here shall be their place of judgment. In the last days there shall be upon them the spectacle of righteous judgment in the presence of the righteous forever. Here shall the merciful bless the Lord of glory, the eternal King. In the days of judgment over the former, they shall bless him for the mercy in accordance with which he hath assigned them their lot, God's judging. Then I blessed the Lord of glory and set forth his glory and lauded him gloriously. This is what makes Enoch pleasing to God. He sees this stuff and he just stops and starts praising God. He starts saying, man, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God, this is amazing. And he starts praising God and he starts worshiping God. You've been there. You've been there when you couldn't shut up, haven't you? When you just say, oh, Lord, I am so amazed at your beauty. I'm so amazed at your glory and your holiness, and you just want to praise God. And, well, that's where Enoch is right here. And it says Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen? And it does please God. And he's saying that all of this stuff taking place here is a last day's place of judgment. It's a valley. I mean, it may very well. Now, something I need to make sure y'all understand is that the topography of this world that he's being shown here right now, and he's telling us, has changed. That because this is pre-flood. The flood, when the fountains of the deep erupt and things shake and the world drops and falls and everything breaks up and the water comes up, there are a lot of differences on the earth. The major areas are probably pretty much the same. He references Mount Hermon. We've already heard that. And that's probably pretty much the same now as it was then. It's a big mountain and it went right through the flood just fine. But there are a lot of other places where things have moved and moved around. Amen?
See, you think now, like you're reading, the horrible things you saw, and then to see this.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a real sense of justice. Then I went towards the east, into the midst of the mountain range of the desert, and I saw a wilderness, and it was solitary, full of trees and plants. And water gushed forth from above, rushing down like a copious watercourse, which flowed towards the northwest. It caused the clouds and the dew to ascend on every side. He's looking at a great big waterfall coming off the side of a mountain. Copious and all. I love that word. And thence I went to another place in the desert and approached to the east of this mountain range. And there I saw aromatic trees, inhaling the fragrance and frankincense, fragrance of frankincense and myrrh. And all the trees were similar to the almond tree. That's what they look like to him. And beyond these, I went far to the east, and I saw another place, a valley full of water, and therein was a tree, the color of fragrant trees, such as the mastic. And there's a question mark here because there evidently is a word that didn't get in there that they don't have. But it's saying here, the fragrant trees, such as the mastic. If Walt was here, he could tell that. When you put in caulking and chinking and whatever else, it's a mastic. It's a flexible, gum-like substance. So it's a gum tree, basically. And on the sides of those valleys, I saw fragrant cinnamon. And beyond these, I proceed to the east, and I saw other mountains, and amongst them were groves of trees, and there flowed forth from them nectar, which is named Sara and Galbanum. And beyond these trees, I saw another mountain to the east of the ends of the earth, wherein were aloe trees, and all the trees were full of stack, being like almond trees, and when one burnt it, it smelled sweeter than any fragrant odor. You know, this isn't something that happened in an afternoon to him, because he's saying that I had enough of a relationship and seeing and being around these things that I could tell what they smelled like. When they burned, they smelled like this. Every now and then you get a little hint that this whole thing took some time and that he was in the spirit or in being taken to all these places for quite some time. And, he was on a trip, more like a vacation than a day out. After these fragrant odors, I looked towards the north over the mountains, I saw seven mountains full of choice nard and fragrant trees and cinnamon and pepper. And from thence I went over the summits of these mountains far to the east of the earth and passed over the Erythian Sea and went far from it and passed over the angel Zotiel and came to the Garden of Righteousness. Traveled quite a ways. And from far and from afar off trees more numerous than these trees, and two trees there, very beautiful, very great, beautiful and glorious and magnificent, and the tree of knowledge whose fruit they eat and no great wisdom. This is all in the garden. It's still there. He is the seventh. And you can actually take this right down to the days when it's happened. I have charts where you can actually go through and pretty much tell yourself that you're within just maybe 20 or 30 years of knowing when this took place in terms of such and such BC. Tree of knowledge whose fruit they did eat and no great wisdom. The tree is in height like a fir tree, and its leaves are like those of a carob tree, and its fruit is like the clusters of a vine, very beautiful, and the fragrance of the tree permeates afar. Then I said, how beautiful is the tree! How attractive is it? Look. Then Raphael, the holy angel who was with me, answered and said, this is the tree of wisdom, of which thy father, old in years, and thy aged mother, who were before thee, have eaten. And they learnt wisdom, and their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and were driven out of the garden. He literally got to see the tree. He literally got to see where it was at, could smell it, could see the fruit, could see everything about it, and knew everything about it. A lot of information here, according to Enoch. And from thence I went to the ends of the earth, and I saw there great beasts, and each differed from the other. And I saw birds also differing in appearance and beautiful and voice, and beauty and voice, the one differing from the other. And to the east of those beasts I saw the ends of the earth whereupon the heaven rests. Now I believe what's being said there is that you've come to a point to where he's looking at the horizon. Okay? That point where the earth is upon the heaven. They're just the horizon. No more mountains, no more trees. He just can't see anything, and he stops there. It's the ends of the earth. And the heaven rests, and the portals of heaven open. And I saw how the stars of heaven came forth, and I counted the portals out of which they proceed, and wrote down all their outlets, each individual star, angel, by itself, according to their number and their names and their courses and their positions and their times and their months, as Uriel, the holy angel who was with me, showed me. He showed me all things to me and wrote them down for me. Because you say, how is he going to write all this stuff down? And, you know, he's just kind of exaggerating here. But he says, no, he said it was actually the angel himself that wrote it all down or had it all written down and gave it to me so I wouldn't forget what it was I was looking at. Also their names he wrote for me and their laws and their companies. So whoever they worked with, you know, it's just like, you know, like our congregation here. Okay, it's our company, it's our congregation. And he's saying that he knows all of that. He knows their laws. He wrote for me and their laws. In other words, what laws do they have to abide with in order to function? You know, Jesus was out on a rough sea, walking on the water. When he wanted to, he could turn the water off. He was able to talk directly to the source that was making the water rough, and the water quit being rough. He had the authority and the connections to go into the Spirit and do that. He was able to go into the Spirit when he saw a tree that had not responded the way the tree was supposed to respond and said, you are supposed to have fruit and you don't. And he spoke to that tree and the tree died. Because, now, those things are beyond the natural, people. Beyond the natural. You and I, we see this world through a very thin slit of light and hearing. But the reality of the world is that there are spirits and there are angels. And most of them, especially in this world, holding everything together, are God's angels. The angels that fell are primarily in the second heavens. Okay, that's their incarceration, is up there in the stars. And that's where they're at, and that's where they're incarcerated. Late in the age, they will be coming down. What time is it?
2:30.
Let's break, get something to drink, and we'll come back and pick it up right here. Okay. And I just want to mention something. We just came down here to Enoch's journey to the north, okay? But I want to kind of just back up a little and mention something. He says, I counted in verse 3 there, he says, I counted the portals out of which they proceed and wrote down all their outlets, each individual star by itself, according to their number and their names and their courses and their positions and their times and their months. Everything is all set up, and he's counting this. This portal is a portal for the angels. And
where is it?
Okay, we were just...
33.3.
Yeah, 33.3. He says, I counted the portals out of which they proceed, and this is the angels, the stars come down from heaven, and wrote down all their outlets, each of them, each individual star by itself, according to their number and their names, their courses, their positions, and their times, and their months. And Uriel, the holy angel, who was with me, showed me, and he wrote all things down and wrote them down for me, and their names he wrote for me, their laws, and their companies. Well, back up here where it says he counts the portals. These are portals in the spirit around the earth by which the angels ascend and descend through these portals up and down. And in another place, and we'll get there eventually. Just 1 second. We'll get there eventually. But we know of one such incident where Jacob was lying down and he looked up and he saw a ladder or a portal going into heaven. And the angels were ascending and descending on the ladder. And I mentioned last week that ladder, if you get into the Strong's, that word there doesn't mean, you know, basically a ladder with rungs on it that you use to get on your house, but it means a turnpike. And so it's like have you ever seen on the news, they'll have a camera showing I-25 going south from a bridge, and they do a speeded up time lapse, and all you see is cars going both ways like this, going like that. That's what it looks like. That's what he's talking about, is that this isn't a couple of guys climbing up there in robes, you know. This is spiritual stuff, and this is heavy stuff, and they're going and they're coming, and he was given their names, and they came and they went at their specific times, doing their specific chores, doing what God asked them to do, and taking care of things. Carol Hooley, in her little book, Caught Up to Heaven, it's upstairs probably, I think, she talks about how these angels came to take her to see the Lord. This is her personal testimony. And she said that they stood her up, and one angel stood on one side, one angel stood on the other, and they took her by the arms, and they told her, "You hang on tight. Hang on tight." And they held her tight, and all of a sudden, boom, they took off. And she goes, "We went into the heavens and through the heavens and through dark places," and she described this, what was taking place, exactly what we're seeing right here, I believe. And so she even said, she goes, there was a place there where it was so dark that it was almost scary because of the darkness and things like that. So anyway, and that's her testimony. So I wanted to mention here that there are more than one, okay? There's more than one of these portals, and there's more than that going on. And so they're coming in and out, coming out of the earth. And when they leave, I don't believe they just take off and blast through space anyway. I think they take off and go into God's heaven, into the third heavens. That's what God's angels are doing, okay? That they're working with the Lord and coming in from the third heaven and going out and going back and forth. The angels, Satan's angels, are incarcerated in the second heavens. They're there, but it's not theirs. They're just stuck there. Okay. No, that's good. Every now and then we hit the ball. Okay, now this is 34. Enoch's journey to the north. And from thence I went towards the north and to the ends of the earth, way out there. And I saw there a great and glorious device at the end of the whole earth. And here I saw three portals of heaven open in the heaven. Out of each of them proceed north winds. And when they blow, there's cold, hail, and frost, snow, dew, and rain. And out of one portal, they blow for good. But when they blow through the other two portals, it's with violence and affliction on the earth. And they blow with violence. So what he's trying to say here is that our weather isn't quite as random as everybody would like you to think. And that's why I mentioned Jesus, you know, on the sea, calming the sea through his words, okay? He didn't call the weatherman and say, "Is it going to stop at 5 o'clock because I'm going to be on the water?" Okay, that's not what was going on there. He had authority in being able to stop the blow. And here he's saying, I'm seeing three portals in heaven, open in the heaven. Each of them proceed the winds. Snow, dew, and rain, out of one portal they blow for good, and they blow through the other two portals with violence, affliction on the earth, and they blow with violence. And from thence I went towards the west to the ends of the earth, and I saw there three portals of the heavens open, such as I had seen in the east, the same number of portals and the same number of outlets. He's seeing basically an horizon with this stuff coming out through portals on the horizon of heaven. And thence there came dew, rain, and wind. From thence, I went to the east. Maybe I started too late. And there I saw three portals of heaven open and small portals above them. through each of these small portals past the stars of heaven, the angels, and run through their course to the west, which is shown to them. And as often as I saw, I blessed always the Lord of glory. And I continued to bless the Lord of glory, who has wrought great and glorious wonders, to show the greatness of his work to the angels and to the spirits and to men, that they might praise his work and all his creation, that he might see the work of his might and praise the work of his hands and bless him forever. This is where Enoch's coming from. He's seeing the hand of God. The second vision which I saw, the vision of wisdom, which Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, saw. This is the beginning of the words of wisdom, which I lifted up my voice to speak and to say to those who dwell on the earth, hear, ye men of old time, and see that which comes after, the words of the Holy One, which I will speak before the Lord of Spirits, if it were better to declare them only to the men of old, but even to those that come after, we will not withhold the beginning of wisdom. He's saying, I can talk to the men of old, the antediluvian early men, and he goes through his genealogy, only seven back. And he says that Adam was the first man. But he's saying, we're not going to withhold this wisdom, but it's going to be put in a book. And that book is to come back and to be a part of the end of the age. Those who are at the time of tribulation, at the end of all time. Till the present day, such wisdom has never been given by the Lord of Spirits as I have received according to my insight, according to the good pleasure of the Lord of Spirits, by whom the lot of eternal life has been given to me. Now, three parables were imparted to me, and I lift up my voice and I recount them to those that dwell on the earth. Here it is. The first parable, the coming judgment of the wicked. The first parable, when the congregation of the righteous shall appear, and sinners shall be judged for their sins, and shall be driven from the face of the earth. And when the righteous one shall appear before the eyes of the righteous, whose elect works hang upon the Lord of Spirits, and light shall appear to the righteous and the elect who dwell on the earth. Now, this righteous one is one person, not righteous ones, not a group of people who are righteous. This is somebody who he calls the righteous one. He's also called the elect one. He's also called the Son of Man by Enoch in here. And he has his elect ones. And it says that they have no righteousness of their own, but only the righteousness that they receive through him. Who is that? Amen. And shall appear to the righteous and the elect who dwell on the earth, where then will be the dwelling of the sinners, and where the resting place of those who have denied the Lord of Spirits. It had been good for them that they had not been born. When the secrets of the righteous shall be revealed, and the sinners judged, and the godless driven from the presence of the righteous and elect, from that time those that possess the earth shall no longer be powerful and exalted, and they shall not be able to behold the face of the holy. For the Lord of Spirits has caused his light to appear on the face of the holy, righteous, and elect. There's a difference here between those who are exalted and powerful. God says, not going to be right. Then shall the kings and the mighty perish, and be given into the hands of the righteous and the holy, and thenceward none shall seek for themselves mercy from the Lord of Spirits, for their life is at an end. This is the end time judgment. The next thing says the abode of the righteous and the elect one, praises of the blessed. And it shall come to pass in those days that the elect and holy children will descend from the high heaven Who descends from the high heaven? How about Revelation 19? Revelation 19 says the elect will descend with the Lord in that day. And their seed will become one with the children of men. And in those days, Enoch received books of zeal and wrath and the books of disquiet and expulsion. And mercy shall not be accorded to them, saith the Lord of spirits. And in those days, a whirlwind carried me off the earth and set me down at the ends of heaven. This is not the only guy that got carried up in a whirlwind. And there I saw a vision, the dwelling of the holy and the resting place of the righteous. Here mine eyes saw their dwelling with his righteous angels and their resting place with the holy. And they petitioned and interceded and prayed for the children of men. This is God's holy ones and the righteous and the angels. And the righteousness flowed before them as water and mercy like dew upon the earth. Thus it is amongst them forever and ever. And in this place mine eyes saw the elect one of righteousness and of faith. And I saw his dwelling place under the wings of the Lord of spirits. And righteousness shall prevail in his days. And the righteous and elect shall be without number before him forever and ever. And all the righteous and the elect before him shall be strong as fiery lights. And their mouth shall be full of blessing. And their lips extol the name of the Lord of spirits. And righteousness before him shall never fail. And uprightness shall never fail before him. This is the elect one. There I wished to dwell. He said, I'm watching all of these people. I'm watching them praise God. I see them interceding for men. I see them petitioning. All this stuff's going on. And he says, There I wish to dwell. And my spirit longed for that dwelling place. And there hitherto hath been my portion. He got his wish. Hitherto he got his portion there. For so it has been established concerning me before the Lord of spirits, before God, in those days. I prayed and extolled the name of the Lord of spirits with blessings and praises, because he hath destined me for blessing and glory according to the good pleasure of the Lord of spirits. For a long time my eyes regarded that place, and I blessed him and praised him, saying, blessed is he, and may he be blessed from the beginning forevermore. And before him there is no ceasing. He knows before the world was created what is forever and what will be from generation to generations. Those who sleep not bless thee. They stand before thy glory and they bless thee and extol thee, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of spirits. He has filled the earth with spirits. And here mine eyes saw all those who sleep not. They stand before him and bless and say, blessed be thou in the name of the Lord forever and ever. And my face was changed, and I could no longer behold. He broke down. He broke down because what he saw was God's people standing before the throne, praising God and worshiping God in that place. And it just, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. He's watching that same event, but he's watching the same event before the flood. The four angels. Oh, by the way, he got his petition, didn't he? He says, Lord, this is where I want to stay. This is where I want to be. Don't send me back. I don't want to go. And it was given unto him that he should live in that place. And we're going to find out he goes lots of other places too, and lots of other visions. But we found out that he felt at home with us. He felt at home with those who sleep not. Remember, in the Old Testament they sleep. In the New Testament we don't sleep. He's literally seen New Testament saints. And after that I saw thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. and I saw a multitude beyond number and reckoning who stood before the Lord of Spirits. And on the four sides of the Lord of Spirits, I saw four presences, different from those that sleep not. And I learnt their name, for the angel that went with me made known to me their names and showed me all the hidden things. Hidden things. And I heard the voice of those four presences as they uttered praises before the Lord of glory. The first voice blesses the Lord of spirits forever and ever. And the second voice I heard blessing the elect one. The elect one's being worshipped. And the elect ones who hang upon the Lord of spirits. And the third voice I heard pray and interceded for those who dwell on the earth and supplicate in the name of the Lord of spirits. What an exciting thing to know that when Jesus says that he intercedes for us, he does. And not him only, but those who are connected with him before the throne are interceding for those of us who are still unfortunate enough to be stuck here for the time being. And I heard the fourth voice fending off the Satans and forbidding them to come before the Lord of spirits to accuse them who dwell on the earth. After that, I asked the angel of peace who went with me, who showed me everything that is hidden, who are these four presences that I have seen? Now, it's interesting here that basically Satan and his angels are trying to come up there to belittle us. You know, we know that he does that. We know that he goes before God and we are accused day and night. And this, in this case, one of these angels is basically there keeping them at bay, not allowing them to have part in what's going on there. And the spirits to accuse them who dwell on the earth. And I asked the spirit of peace who went with me, showed me everything that is hidden. Who are these four presences which I have seen and whose words I have heard and written down? And he said to me, this is Michael, the merciful and long-suffering, the second who is set over all the diseases and all the wounds of the Son of Man is Raphael. And the third who is set over all the powers is Gabriel. And the fourth who is set over the repentance unto hope of those who inherit eternal life is Phanuel. And these four angels and the Lord of spirits and the four voices I heard in those days. Let's stop here. And we'll pick it up next week. Any questions? Yes.
Going back when we started, the word sirens for the women, where are they and what's going on with them? Because, you know.
I've looked up the word siren, and basically it's a temptress. A temptress. And this is the woman, the ladies themselves are dead. Their spirits have become temptations to men and are in the spirit tempting men. And that's their lot, what they do. Yeah.
The Odyssey, remember that? You know, they have the sirens
on. Oh, that's right. See, what you have to understand is almost everything that we're reading here, you can take Greek and Roman mythology and you can roll it over and realize in Greek mythology they had their angel gods, the immortal ones. From there, they married human women and they had children who became the Olympians and pardon?
The Titans
and the Olympians, and they end up fighting each other and they're doing all kinds of weird things, and it became mythology when Christianity rose to the fore. Up to that point in time, it wasn't mythology, it was their religious beliefs. And so here we had these angels wanting to be worshipped. Then their children were worshipped. And then their spirits bring back the messages after the flood. And it's the doctrines of demons that we're told we are not to do anything with. And we're to ignore their doctrines. We're not to do that. We're not to have any kind of relationship with them. So none of this changes the world in which we live that we're reading about here. But yes, you're right. Sirens were the temptress. You know, sometimes they call them mermaids.
Yeah. Remember the ships, you know, back here and the rocks?
Yeah. Mermaid fit in there somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can get into
another. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time. I ask that you would help everyone to sort through things and read ahead if they want to and do whatever. But Lord, most of all, the blood of Jesus, the covenant, the very covenant, Lord God, that allows us to have a hope of coming into your kingdom, Lord God, your covenant, oh God, and knowing and understanding you and the world in which we live, Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the word of God that tells us all of those things, Lord God, and brings us into a relationship with you. Lord God, cover these people, cover their houses, cover their minds, cover their spirits, oh God, as they go out of this place today, Lord God. And Lord, right now we serve notice that we are the elect of God, and we walk in that election. And we know, Lord God, the power that has been given to your elect. In Jesus' name, amen.